This is an interview with Betty Roberts. This is tape 8, side B.
So anyway, that evening we were at some function where we were all having drinks, and Vern walked up to me and started just berating me for my vote.
Vern Cook for
mm-hmm. that day. And Ross Morgan was standing nearby, and he came over and started in on Vern, and he said, look, you know it was a caucus position. You know very well that, you know, we decided all of this and that it was okay for Al and for Betty to do this. And Vern then made some comment back to Ross, and Ross just hauled off and hit him on the jaw. And
what kind of a comment did he make?
I don't know. You have to ask Ross Morgan when you interview. And Vern just sprawled out on the floor. And Ross is so proud of that. He said, even to this day, he says, I always wanted to do that to Vern. And then I had a reason to. So, you know, you asked me, was anybody sort of my mentor, and did people, you know, step up, and or did I go out seeking? And I guess it was just a mixture of everything. A lot of people did give me help. You know, I think Bud Lent gave me a lot of help. I think Phil Lang did. I think Keith Skelton certainly did, and others who were there. Beulah Hand, who was there if I needed it. Beulah was a little bit more independent herself, and so it was. You develop a lot of camaraderie with people, and some people in the Republican Party who I enjoyed. Stafford Hansel, for example. Mm-hmm. Certainly very willing to John Mosser, who was in that session of the legislature, and you know we're still really good friends with John. John, in fact, after the 65 session, made a recommendation that I be on an interim committee that he was chairing to review the public employees' retirement system, and I was appointed to that committee. He made the recommendation to the speaker. Republican speaker, and so he put me on that interim committee. You know, I'd almost have to go back through the list, and of all the legislators in 65 and 67, I could make comment, I'm sure, about almost all of them, one way or another, and many who were very helpful. I think, on the other hand, there were some who, you know, didn't want to help me, who didn't want, you know, didn't. Thought maybe that I might have some political future, and there's no point in giving her any opportunities. So you find all kinds.
What were the caucus meetings like?
Well, depending upon what kinds of issues we were discussing, they would be anywhere from calm to pretty boisterous and opinionated discussions. Mm-hmm. But they were always. Because it was our own party, there was always a lot of inside sharing of what was going on in various committees and what were issues that were important to the Democrats and what were issues we could let go and what were issues we wanted to be able to run on, what were issues that we felt would be difficult for us and so on. I mean, just a lot of political strategy.
Were you appointed to any other interim committees in 65 or 67?
You know, I don't think so. I can't remember. No, uh-huh. I don't think so. There might have been an interim education committee that I was appointed to. That's a possibility then, yes.
And you had mentioned before about the other women that were in the legislature, and I think you've referred to Shirley Field, and I believe Beulah Hand wasn't there.
Well, Kitty Musa was there. She was the wife of Ben Musa, who was the president of the Senate that session in 65. Mm-hmm. Nancy Kirkpatrick, who was a teacher, but Nancy was well-liked, but I didn't think she was a very aggressive legislator. Juanita Orr was there from Clackamas County. Fritzie Chenard from West Portland, and Gracie Peck. Can't forget Gracie Peck. Gracie was really very colorful, very large woman who kept candy jars all over her desk, flowing on her desk, off her desk, and people, lobbyists and other legislators would keep them filled, and you know, they were there for anybody to help themselves. Since this was her desk, this was her office, you know, she had this, and she had flowers around and everything else. She really fixed up this desk. Huh. It was, but Gracie was an institution all by herself. And Gracie had been there since, think Grace was first elected in the 40s, and then she was defeated, and then she came back in the 50s, and so she had been there for some time. Grace had her own little issues that tended to deal with welfare and with corrections, and that was about as far a range as Gracie got. Some domestic relations, because she was an ardent Catholic. Adoption issues, those kinds of things were what Gracie excelled in. She was a nice lady, and she was a Democrat, and so she was always a part of our Democratic caucus.
Did the women ever get together?
No, not as a group. No.
And were there any coalitions at all in terms of voting on issues
women?
That might have been relevant to women?
No. In fact, I don't recall any quote women's issue at all in 65. I only know from research that there was introduced that session a bill to create a commission on the status of women. But I didn't know it during that session that there was anything in, and it never got out of committee. And I don't think I became aware of really any quote women's issues until I got over in the Senate in 69. I don't remember any in 67 either. I think the 67 session, just to kind of maybe wind up this discussion of the 65 and 67 sessions, is that I think in 67 I began to branch out a great deal more, felt more comfortable, felt that I had my own kinds of issues pretty well under control and was identified with those, and that I, you know, wanted to go on in search of a broader range of issues. And one that I did get involved with was the establishment of the Sea Grant College at Oregon State University, which was sort of still an education, but not public school education, higher ed. We had a proposal presented to us that apply for federal funds for the establishment of a Sea Grant University. Then the federal government was interested in doing this in about three locations around the country, very much like the old land grant colleges were established. And Oregon State University was interested in pursuing that, one of the requirements was that they had to have a commitment from their local state government that the state would be willing also to help support this. And so I sort of took that on as an issue that I felt was important, and worked with a number of the professors from Oregon State on how to present this issue, and particularly then to present it to Ways and Means. They'd sold it to the Education Committee, but then how to present it to Ways and Means, where they had to get the commitment that yes, we will officially make a commitment, we'll identify a certain amount of money so you can take this back to Washington, D.C. and say yes, the state is committed. And we were successful in doing that. And that was one of my early successful working with Ways and Means and learning how they operate and working then with these people from Oregon State.
Were there other issues in the 67 legislature?
Well, I'm trying to think. There certainly in both of the session in 65, there's the big revision in workers' compensation to take it away from jury trials, from being in court, into administrative hearings. I voted against that because I wasn't at that point real sure of myself in terms of the workers' compensation system, and because it was the Democratic Party's position that they, primarily based upon the position of AFL-CIO, that jury trials were more favorable to injured workmen than an administrative hearing procedure would be. And also to allow for private insurance carriers to provide coverage, whereas it had just been sort of a state monopoly, state coverage. So there were a lot of issues there, and Keith Skelton was very active in that. In fact, he was really the had lobbied for two sessions for it, and was now back in the legislature as a legislator working for it. But I voted against that bill anyway. That was a very hot issue. Another issue in either 65 or 67 session was the implied consent law, which would allow police officers to stop a vehicle upon suspicion that a person was driving while intoxicated, and ask the driver to take a breathalyzer test. And the idea of that was that by driving, by having a driver's license, the person impliedly consents to taking this breath test. Okay. If they refuse to take it, then their license is automatically lifted, whether they are driving intoxicated or not. It is just the refusal to take the test. So it was almost a compulsory sort of thing. Civil Liberties Union was opposing that, and as I recall, however, I voted for it, and I was very sympathetic to this ACLU's position. I think in all of these kinds of issues, and those are just a couple of examples, I certainly was getting a much broader experience in terms of the kinds of issues and the kinds of interest groups that and the kinds of pressures that a legislator can get from all of these competing interests, and then you have to make some hard decisions. You have to decide which way you're going to vote.
In 65, there was also the full train
Full crew law. And
yeah.
That one was, let's see, now that was the requirement that a certain number of crew members be on a train regardless of the the trip, the length of the trip, regardless of the number of cars that are in the train.
That's
and so
right.
on. Right,
yeah.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I voted, I don't know how I voted on the full crew law. I think I voted to eliminate the full crew, as mm-hmm. I recall. And that would have been an anti-AFL-CIO vote. But I'm not sure about that.
And
I'm
what
not
about
sure
the,
how I voted.
What about the constitutional revision?
Constitutional revision was there. Can't remember where the constitutional I don't know what committee that was in. It was probably in the Judiciary Committee, and I did not serve on that committee. Can't remember. Did it get out? Do you know, Clark, whether it got out of the session? Because it would have had to have been voted on by the people, and I think it did not.
I'm not sure.
That's a question you'll have to ask Keith Skelton, because he was very active in the constitutional revision effort. I think it did not get out of the legislature.
What about the property tax relief?
And the property tax relief. There was a proposal, as I recall, that did not pass. And it was based upon just the my position on the property tax relief bill was that you can't support education with that kind of a limitation mm-hmm. on property taxes, mm-hmm. and that it would be inequitable in terms of various districts and so on. Mm-hmm. So there were all these issues, but there were, and you would. If I had been on some of the other committees, they would have been more important issues to me.
Right.
But they were not issues that I personally was working on.
What about offshore mining? Was that a...
I don't remember whether that was an issue or not, but the beach bill was.
Beach bill.
The
that
beach
was,
bill was very important.
That was in 67
in 60,
69?
That was after McCall became governor.
Uh-huh.
So that was in 67.
67, yeah.
67 was the beach bill.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one that established the beaches of Orion as public property, so that... Mm-hmm. They would be available always to the public. Very, very important concept, long-range concept, was a piece of legislation that we could certainly, all Oregonians could be proud of.
In 65, there was the anti-pollution of rivers law. Do you recall that?
No. No, I don't recall that one.
Uh-huh. But what would you say would be the main accomplishments of the two terms?
For me personally?
Well, yeah, either for you personally or for the legislature in general.
Well, I think that the beach bill would be a major one, because it was beginning to set the tone for environmental concerns.
Mm-hmm.
That's not truly environmental, except from the standpoint that of making all of our natural environment available for enjoyment by all the people. And so, in a sense, it was not, it was, you could, some people characterized it as property rights. You know, the rest of us characterized it as, you know, what should the public have ownership of that we can all enjoy. And so, in a way, it kind of was environmental protection because it would prevent property owners from building all kinds of things, you know, right along the beaches. So I think the beach bill was certainly important in terms of long range outlook for Oregon, and began then to, and the one you mentioned about the pollution of rivers, those were early indications that the environment was going to be, environmental issues were going to be very big issues. I mean, you can look back on them now and say here was the beginning of some of these.
You didn't mention anything about your re-election in 1966.
In 1966 was a pretty easy re-election, really. I didn't have, I'm not sure anyone even filed against me for that position in the Democratic Party. Yes, I believe it. I believe Al Myers filed against me because he had come in fourth in '64.
In the primary or in the general election?
In the primary. He was a Democrat.
Al
Myers, M-Y-E-R-S. Mm-hmm. I believe Al filed against me, but I beat him. And then there was a woman, Elizabeth Giles, who filed against me in the a Republican in the general election. But the general election was a very easy campaign.
And your committee assignments in that next session? Did you have
still state education, and I became vice chair of state and federal affairs. And I kidded Bob Smith all the time to please, you know, couldn't he be absent once in a while and let me be chair? And his answer always was, "No way, Betty, no way. You've learned too much being here."
Well, did you have any? What did you learn about the way things operate?
About state and federal?
Yeah.
Oh, I just, you know, I just thought here is, you know, if you want to get something done or you don't want something done, here's the way to do it. It was just a matter. It was not that I attached any kind of moral value to what was being done. It was simply just learning the process, and some things that I might have wanted to the committee to take up and move out. Some things we did. There were bills that came down there dealing with veterans affairs, bills that didn't really fit into any other committee that we dealt with and on a very honest basis as a committee. And so there was, you know, it wasn't totally the burying ground. It wasn't totally just the place where bills didn't get a hearing. We actually did some committee work. And Bob Smith was a good chairman, and I was able to pick up a lot of, there were some of the chairmen in our committees were not good chairmen. They couldn't keep order. They couldn't move things along. They couldn't get the witnesses to, you know, to stop talking, and you know, or things of that sort. They couldn't get the issues collected so that they could be presented to the committee. But Bob Smith was a good chairman, and I think probably the best one of the ones that I served with. And so I, you know, I learned a lot in terms of how you work a committee from a standpoint of being the chairperson.
Were there actually federal issues that you dealt with?
Can't remember any really.
No.
Any other
issues?
We might have had something there dealing with National Guard or things of that sort.
What about, you know, logging or health care?
No, can't remember any. Can't remember any. Before maybe our next session, I'll take a look and see if there's anything really important that needs to be said.
All right. Just on one final note here in this session, where were your children at this point?
In 66?
Yeah, I mean, at this point in your life, and you know, towards the end of your period of your time in the House.
Well, I think my children were pretty proud that I was at the legislature. They'd come down and visit, you know, and some of them would line them up to be a page if they wanted to be.
What ages were they then?
In the 66 session.
67 session.
By 67, my daughter had graduated from high school and was at Stanford. My son was in high school, so there were three home. Diane was at Stanford, so I only had three home. And the oldest son then was in high school, and so they were all getting older. I took John down one day just to show him the legislature and have him see what his mother did, and he sat through the committee meetings and sat with me on the floor. And I'd take the others down so they could see what the legislature was, and they could be a page if they wanted to be, you know. And so they knew what I was doing. And their father had moved within just two or three blocks from where we lived. And so it was really not a bad arrangement. I was out of law school by 67. I was studying for the bar in 67, and in fact did leave the session a little bit early. I think we talked about this already, to begin to study for the bar exam in 67, because I had not passed it in 66. So it was a little easier because I wasn't going to law school at night, and I did in 67, when I could make arrangements for somebody to be with the children or for them to go to their father's house, I began to stay down in Salem a night or two, particularly when we'd have the lobbies would throw a party or there'd be some special event or something of that sort. And then toward the end of the session, when it got really, really pretty bad, we'd have night committee meetings. And that happens toward the end of the session,
really?
Too. Yeah, you get night committee meetings. And so sometimes you'd have to stay. So I think by 67, I got into a little bit more of the social activities of the legislature than I had had in 65, simply because of my home obligation and my going to law school and so on. And I was getting a little bit more then into what was going on in Salem after hours, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, I bet it was. Well, is there anything else you'd like to
sum up on those? Not on these two, and if I think of anything, and I'll try to refresh my memory a bit before we start again. Okay?
Okay.
So now we start with the election to the Senate.
Election to the Senate, next time.
Okay.